And you need only say Ferguson and Baltimore in a single sentence to evoke one of the major stories of our time, black people being killed by police officers in cities around the country. By some counts, a black person is shot by a police officer or security guard or vigilante every 28 hours. So every 28 hours is the name of a theater project that connected theater companies and artists back to the founding company, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland. Claudia Alec is the creator and a community producer at OSF, and she's in the studio with me once again. Welcome back, Claudia.
Thank you for having me.
So talk about what it's been like these last few years to witness Tayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice. I guess I was surprised at how quickly the names came to me, and it's a much longer list than that.
Well, I think that we're all living in a state of trauma. You know, every day for the last 2 years, I've been posting on our Facebook page about all of these things that are happening in the country, and it really inspired all of us to need to do something, and that's been something that's helped.
So as a theater artist, you obviously have an outlet for expression, quite a few outlets for expression, in fact. Tell us about the conversations that led to Every 28 Hours.
Well, initially, when Michael Brown was shot, everyone was on Facebook saying, I'm going to Ferguson. And so I got inspired and gathered a group of artists to go to Ferguson. We called the project the Ferguson Moment, Mika Cole, Sharifa Joka, theaters from all over the country. And we went to St. Louis and partnered there. And we were there for 3 days. And then after that, we were wondering, what do we do now? Because that project was called the Ferguson Moment for a reason. We understood we could get there immediately and do something in the moment. But what was the conversation we needed to have over time? So we decided to create a project that was local and national. And it's something that we have theater companies all over the country participating in.
What did you do in the Ferguson Moment, though, in those 3 days there? What did you do?
Well, the first day we witnessed. We visited people. We had conversations. We went to the Black Rep and had this amazing conversation where just in that cast, there was an actor, an actress whose husband, his cousin lived in Ferguson, and he'd heard stuff was going on, so he ran down to see if his cousin was all right, and he ended up getting rounded up by the police and locked up. His wife went to try and find him and could not find him because they did not actually arrest him. They just grabbed him and took him somewhere, which is not legal. And so that was shocking to hear. But then the stage manager, her father was a police officer. So even in that conversation, we understood that we're all connected in this conversation, but it's affecting all of us negatively.
So talk about the development then. I mean, we did talk about the Ferguson Moment, and you wanted to do something that would go on a little longer term. So how did you hit upon, first of all, the name, Every 28 Hours, and then the execution of the, if you pardon the expression, but the use of the
indeed,
the the producing of the project.
Well, there's a there was a study that came out after the death of Trayvon Martin that said that every 28 hours, a black person is extrajudicially killed by a police officer, security guard, or vigilante. When I looked into that research, I found that either community members immediately picked it up as a hashtag, hashtag every 28 hours, and they were activated and wanted to solve the problem. And then on the other side, there were people who immediately said, are you sure that's true? I'd like to talk to you about the methodology of that study. And it brought up for us the question of every 28 hours. Well, what if it's every 36 hours? What if it's every 48 or 52? How many hours would it need to be for us not to think that this is something that needs to be addressed?
That is a really interesting construction. I noticed that in the materials at the OSF website, the idea that okay, so where do you go? Every 28 hours, every 48, every 98, how many hours for this not to be an issue of vital national importance?
And that's the conversations communities are having. There's a lot of denial around this, and it's understandable. We would very much like to live in a country where this wasn't happening, where we could trust our police. I want to trust our police. But the facts that we keep reading in the newspapers and online and see on the news and the cell phone video coverage and the first-person testimonials tell us that we actually have a national crisis, and we need to be addressing it, not denying it.
Claudia Alec is the creator of the Every 28 Hours project that started at Oregon Shakespeare Festival, but involves theater companies and artists across the country. There is a performance coming up on Monday, October 10th at 7:30 at the Angus Bomer Theater in Ashland, which is actually it's a What You Can Pay event. We'll talk more about that as we go through the program, but you can talk right now about the Every 28 Hours project, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Lots of different forms the project could have taken. You settled on essentially one-minute plays?
Yes. You know, I'm a New York neo-futurist, so I have a background in short-form theater. But I wanted to reach out to Dominic Andrea and the One-Minute Play Festival. He travels from town to town with his theater company, generating like 30 to 60 one-minute plays in these communities, sometimes up to 90, and then producing them very, very quickly in these communities. He's been wanting to collaborate with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival for years, and I thought this might be the way for us to do that. We ended up taking his model and blowing it up. So some of our plays are a little longer than 1 minute. And I know that this project, it's expanded upon the great work that he does. We initially reached out to a group of playwrights, and we had really famous playwrights like Lynn Nottage, Robert Schenken, you know, Pulitzer Prize, Tony Award-winning playwrights writing us plays. And we got a collection of around 50. And we also made sure they were Native American, Latino, African American. We wanted to make sure we were hearing from a diversity of voices, as well as white writers as well. Then we reached out to theaters and asked theaters all over the country, would you send somebody to Ferguson with us to do a developmental workshop? Some theaters sent playwrights, some sent actors, some sent producers. We all went to Ferguson and were there. We went to Michael Brown's high school and heard direct testimonials from high school students.
This was last October?
This was last October. Mm-hmm. We I facilitated a conversation between the police and activists at the Urban League, where the police officer ended up crying and apologizing and hugging one of the activists. Of course, I have none of this on tape because we were just there to learn, because we wanted to make sure the content of what we were sharing was fully informed. We even had a history professor give us a lecture because we wanted to find out why did these things happen. And he had to start with the Missouri Compromise. And one of the very interesting links that we have to St. Louis is that that's where the wagon trains started from to get to Oregon. And when you think about, you know, the exclusion laws, that's all connected. So there's actually a direct connection between Oregon and Missouri, Ashland and Ferguson, which I didn't even know until I started this project.
Oh, the exclusion laws, good point. The fact that Oregon actually decided its way to deal with slavery, no slavery, was just not to have black people upon statehood. They were excluded from living in the state. Grab your headphones. I think we're going to have a phone caller here, too, for you. Oh, you got mine. Okay, sorry. Russell in Talent, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Claudia Alec from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Good morning.
Hi.
Very good topic. I listen to people talking about this. I hear a lot of denial, and you mentioned it. And I would like to hear different forms of the denial. I think we need to be educated on that. The one I hear the most is, "Oh, so what? Black people are getting killed by white policemen. Black on black violence is much higher." Which is a cop-out, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get a response from Claudia. Thanks for bringing that up, Russell.
Yes, indeed. Well, there are a lot of things people bring up to try and have a different conversation than the one that we need to have as a nation regarding our trust and ability to work with our local law enforcement. One of those is the misnomer. Black on black crime, which that doesn't even make any sense. There's white on white crime. There's Latino on Latino crime. Because people live close to each other, those crime rates are going to be higher. So segregation, that actually adds to that thing. But ultimately, the conversation is, we as a nation, how can we trust the people who are supposed to be protecting us? And I feel really great about our community. Yesterday, I was at the Rotary Club and witnessed this amazing presentation by Corey Falls, our sheriff, and Ty O'Meara, the chief of police here in Ashland. And they did a presentation all about implicit bias. So that was them acknowledging that things are happening and letting us know that they're doing internal trainings and doing something to help address this.
How long was their presentation?
Oh, we were there for about an hour. It was a lunchtime presentation, and it was really thorough. And they're going to be doing implicit bias training that will be open to the community November 1st. And I believe that's in conjunction with SOU and the Race Awareness Week that's happening here. But I just got to say, this community has been having community gatherings, conversations around race, racism, microaggressions. These are things where everyone needs to get educated. But ultimately, these negative things, they're not just negatively affecting black people. They're affecting everybody.
Claudia Alec, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, community producer from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, one of the founders of the Every 28 Hours Play Project. Every 28 hours, a black person in America killed by a vigilante, security guard, or police officer in the United States. Let's hear what you're thinking about this and what you think about the issue that's being addressed and the approach for Every 28 Hours. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's the reason I asked how long Corey Falls and Ty O'Meara were talking is because they had an hour. We have 19 minutes to talk to you now. How, in a one-minute play, in a 90-second play, can you communicate an idea and drive it home?
Well, you know, we're going to be presenting 73 of these plays on Monday here at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And communities themselves are also generating their own original work as well. So what we're hearing are short stories, very quick snippets, voices from all over the country and all of the perspectives. So, you know, Neil Abute wrote this amazing play that was from the perspective of a white police officer. Stu wrote a play that was from the perspective of a black police officer. Lisa Luma wrote a play that was really gorgeous. It's short, but it's succinct, and it helps you to really understand what happens in that one moment when somebody gets shot, the police officer and the black person who wasn't holding a gun, who was holding a bottle. It has been my experience, because we did a workshop of these plays in St. Louis, where we presented them at a community center in Ferguson and then at a theater in St. Louis. The plays have been produced at Trinity Rep and ACT and the Kennedy Center. And every time, what we find out is that you can very effectively, in only 30 minutes, in only 40 minutes or 90 minutes, have a fulsome emotional engagement with what's going on, and the conversations afterwards are amazing and so important.
Are they paired with conversations? I mean, it's not just the plays, it's presentation and then conversations?
Yes, we actually made that an implicit part of the project. We said, please engage with the plays. You have the freedom to do a staged reading or a full production. So they're doing full productions in San Francisco, a full production in Boston while they'll be touring it. But we said, you have to embed some kind of post-show engagement for your audience to continue the conversation, because that's actually the point. We're not trying to preach to you. We're trying to inspire you to talk to each other and help transform your own communities.
You talked about the response from people when you performed these in the St. Louis area, and you had a police officer crying, as you mentioned. Hmm. I'm curious to know about other audience responses that you've had that stood out to you.
Well, you know, I found that a lot of audience members, there was tears. A lot of people felt great affirmation. We have a video on our Facebook page that's just the things people wrote down on a piece of paper at the community center. And it was, you know, a black mother saying, yes, this is the story of my son and my children. And it was, an artist who didn't feel like they had a way to enter into this conversation saying, thank you for this. And just other people saying, take this everywhere. This is what people need to hear. Thank you for the bravery. Thank you for this. Because the truth is, this is really hard work to do. I'm just in awe of all of the actors and the directors who are staging these plays, because it's emotionally difficult work to dig into, even just to stage. But ultimately, by the end of the experience, you feel inspired and hopeful. And also, you feel like you've been heard.
How many different theater artists altogether involved with the Every 28 Hours, between all the different companies?
It's funny. I couldn't tell you the exact number because people keep adding. I got this amazing phone call at 8:30 this morning from a producer in Cleveland saying, "Hey, is it? I know that we're already doing something in Cleveland, but I want to join you." And I said, "Yes, yes, that's great." And I told her about the other stuff happening in Cleveland, in Washington D.C. They have three different engagements happening in October: Kennedy Center, Howard University, and a children's theater, Atlas Theater Company. Stanford University is doing its own individual engagement. We also have a format called the Community Readings. It's a 9-play collection with facilitation guidelines, and anyone can take it and read the plays. You don't have to have professional, you don't even have to have actors. You can just have people, and you can read them in your living room. We've done community reading at a church, people's living rooms, community spaces with coworkers, and we're just trying to help people to engage with this topic, and we understand that theater is uniquely equipped to help people to do that.
Claudia Alec, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and the creator of the Every 28 Hours Play Project. Here's a call from Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thanks very much. I'd like to expand this a little bit because what you're talking about is actually kind of a comfort to many people because they separate themselves and our culture, saying, oh, it's those people in the uniforms and they're doing bad things. Folks, we are a racist nation. While we have been alive, there have been people lynched. I have a friend who was in Texas going to school when the first blacks were admitted to her school. This is not just that uniform that is doing this. This is our culture, and I think we really all have to acknowledge that.
All right, Grumpy John, thanks for that. Appreciate it. So, Claudia, how much is acknowledged in the 72 plays? It seems like at least one of them might graze that.
Oh, actually, there's a lot of them. The ask that we gave to our playwrights was, we were very non-prescriptive. We said, could you write something that's in resonance with the civil rights movements that's happening now? So there's an entire section that's just labeled race, and it's about race. It's plays that are about just different ethnicities. There's a section that's about protest, a section on police. There's a section on youth, a section on mothers. So there are plays that are about place, community. There's this amazing play that I believe a playwright based in St. Louis wrote that's just two people, a couple, a white couple in a car driving past a black person and the wife rolling up her window. And it's brilliant. I can't tell you how amazing it is to see such a full story told in 30 seconds or 90 seconds. These playwrights have created beautiful, beautiful tools for us.
What do you make of the different set of feelings? You mentioned the civil rights movement, and you're talking about the one going on now. But it seems like when you talk about civil rights movement historically, there's, you know, we shall overcome, and everybody feels great about it and wants to take credit for it. But then you say Black Lives Matter movement, and that seems to rub a lot of people the wrong way. And yet it's seeking the same things, isn't it?
Well, and if you look back at the news coverage of the civil rights movement, it's the exact same rhetoric. When Martin Luther King was protesting, they were calling him a terrorist. They were, jailing him. They were saying that he wasn't protesting correctly. Now, ultimately, whenever you hear someone saying, oh, could you protest differently? What they're really saying is, oh, could you not acknowledge there's a problem? Because I don't want to acknowledge that there's a problem. It's very true. The Black Lives Matter movement, there's a lot of really terrible misinformation out there. So, one of the things we're doing at our show on Monday, we're going to have lobby displays. There will be information about the Black Lives Matter movement, as well as information from our local law enforcement, social justice groups, Unite Oregon, United Way, just places for people to get information about this conversation that we need and will continue to be having.
All right. The Every 28 Hours plays presented on Monday at the Angus Bomer Theater at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. 72 playwrights react. You do need a ticket for this event, right?
Yes.
But it is a pay what you can at the box office at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. It is Monday the 10th at 7:30 at the Angus Bomer Theater. Claudia Alec was present at the conception. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for amplifying this vital conversation. We hope to see you on Monday.